Ladies and gentlemen, the golden age of rock and roll.
You are listening to Concert Blast.
Hi, welcome to Concert Blast. This is Mike Arnold, your host, along with
Tom Thompson
and
Brian Hasbrook.
Hello, guys. Y'all having fun?
We having fun, yeah. Man. We just eating away here, right here at CC Pizza's, right here in Hermitage.
Well, I tell you what, this is a great place to have some pizza.
Absolutely.
All the food you can eat tonight.
For only how much?
I don't know how much.
How much, Brian?
I don't know. You owe me money.
I don't owe you no money. $3.99 plus tax. Man, what a deal for all you can eat. And you get a salad, and you can order whatever you want, too, man. Any pizza you want, you can order.
With desserts.
With desserts, that's right.
So tell us some good news about our sponsors, Tom.
Well, you know what? There's so many sponsors out there. I don't know if we have time to mention them all. What do you think, Brian?
Oh, I think we can fit them in.
So, you know, I've been getting a lot of messages from people saying, hey, have y'all got a sponsor yet? We're working on sponsorships, actually, by the way, on our website and also on our www.concertblast.com. Very good.
How about that?
One of the things we're out there selling for sponsorships is a ad on our website, is a corporate ad, which is like a commercial. And we have an executive ad. An executive sponsor ad will take care of this whole process.
Right.
You just pay one big bill, and guess what? We'll say, whatever your company is, presents Concert Blast.
And then we move in with you, and you take care of us for the rest of your life.
Or just set us up.
Don't scare them off, Phil.
We don't have to move in with them. We just let them set us up.
That's right.
I tell you what, one of the things that we did this time last week, we were at the middle of Cheap Trick. And if you look at our website, concertblast.com, you will see pictures of us with Cheap Trick.
That's
man,
right.
What a time did we have.
Yes, we did, man. What a great show.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just wish we got more pictures. We got some.
Yeah.
Some that are just beautiful and some that are what they turned out to be.
I'll tell you what, though. Special thanks goes out to Carol Chase for just going up to Robin Zander and said, hey, these are friends of mine. Can we come in? He says, follow me to the stage.
That's right.
And that blew my mind. He says, sure, guys, hey. And the road manager sitting there giving us backstage passes, slapping them on us. I mean, man, what a time did we have.
We really did.
Yeah. And then we always have this game between us. What song do they start off with? What song are they going to start off with? Well, Tom guessed it.
I did. I'll tell you what. You didn't believe it either.
Yeah,
that was so hard to figure that one out.
Well, I tell you what, though, I hadn't seen them play that in years.
It's exactly right.
And probably 15 years.
Well, yeah, they actually did start with something else a long time ago.
Did it sound something like this?
Something just like that, man.
But it didn't say Tokyo,
did it? But we weren't in Tokyo. We were in Nashville, Tennessee.
It was something like this right here,
it was. Just like that, man. Sounded just as good, too.
Let's listen to it for a minute.
Robin sounded that good too, man. I was ready to rock, man. He got us ready to rock, all right.
Boy, so Tom got the prize for the week. We'll just let this play in the background. How's that?
What's the prize, man? That's right. Turn it down a little bit.
The prize is you get the last piece of pizza left on the plate.
There you go.
So here we are. So Tom guessed the concert starter, which was Hello There. And actually, they did close the show also with
Goodbye There, Ladies and Gentlemen.
All right. Then, of course, right before that, on the first song of their encore was Dream Police. And that was fun.
That was really
good.
Them.
Man, I tell you what, it was more fun than I thought. It was a lot of fun that I really enjoyed. And that was Rick Nelson throwing picks at us somewhere on the side of the stage.
Yes, he did.
And he's sitting there flipping those picks at us.
He was flicking them everywhere, man. It was cool. He pointed this out and threw a bunch to us, too.
Yeah.
Well, he was throwing them up about a handful.
He was.
Oh, yeah.
I think everybody got a pick just about who went to the show.
And when we were leaving, that lady that stopped us, stopped you, actually.
Yeah, she did.
What'd you say?
She said, oh, I've got a buddy of mine who's been to so many concerts, but he doesn't have anything from Cheap Trick. Can you try to get us a pick or something? And
can you dig around in the dirt and find something, please?
And Mike just happened to find one on top of one of the PA speakers, I believe.
Yeah, I just walked back there. I said, they're all over back there because he threw them at us.
Yes, sir.
Rick Nelson, thank you so much for entertaining us back there. I mean, I had a blast.
It was lots of fun.
It took me a long time to calm down and go to bed that night. I was hyped up.
It did.
But Carol was a lot of fun, too. Carol Chase of Lynyrd Skynyrd, and talking to her on our last show. She was just so much fun, and I just wish we had more time. We only had like 15 minutes to talk to her, and we were barely squeezing that in. I mean, we didn't even get to squeeze that in because we had to pack up all the gear and go over to the concert. But I'll tell you what, she was phenomenal to talk to. And her CD, it's on our website. You can go to the link on our website, or go to her website, carolchase.com, and you will see a great CD there. I've been listening to it all week.
It's called Blue Highway. It's very, very good. She's very talented, and you can actually go to her website and purchase that CD from her website, from a link from our website, which is, again,
ConcertBlast.com. What did y'all like the most about the Cheap Trick Show?
I tell you, I was blown away on how the quality of sound from the musician standpoint, from the music, and Robin Zander. I mean, yeah, he still has it.
His voice is still as powerful as it ever was. It's absolutely fantastic.
And he proved that in the flame, didn't he?
Oh, yes. I was very pleased they sang that song.
And If You Want My Love, he proved it there.
Oh, yeah.
And Voices and, you know, several other songs. But, of course, that very end of the flame is where he really belts it out. So.
Yep, yeah. He did. He carried it on.
When we walked in, it was an outdoor concert, so there was a railing system. You wasn't covered, and you just walked right out to the stage. And all those people were lined up across the barriers there, and he was sitting there and signing autographs as he was walking to the stage.
Oh, very nice.
Every one of them, yeah.
Real fast, but he was signing them.
And I loved the way he was dressed.
That hat and that suit. Yeah.
I love that.
Again, guys, check it out on the website. You got pictures of all of them on the website.
Man. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome.
It was really cool.
And then, of course, that was the most dressed up I've seen Rick Nelson since we first saw him. He used to do the old college red sweater and, you know, checkered pants and yellow shirt. And now he had a completely matching outfit from head to toe, like, what was it, black satin and white and everything. He had a checkered earpiece.
He did. Checkered earpiece.
Yes, he did.
Well, he had checkered speakers, checkered this, checkered that.
Yeah.
That's his deal, man.
But I liked it at the first, you know, when they're having the little fanfare music. And he was taking his guitar, and he was going, boom. He's looking at us like, watch this, watch this.
Yeah.
And he was going,
that was cool, yeah.
And we were standing right beside him, and he was doing the intro to the show, and I was digging it.
It was very good.
And you know what? Out in the crowd, people just probably thought it was feedback on the stage.
Yeah,
I'm sure they did.
Didn't even know he was sitting there making it happen. So, I mean, Rick Nelson looks just like everybody's cousin.
Yeah,
he does.
I mean, I got a cousin who looks just like him if he threw on a baseball cap. I ain't lying.
You got it.
I mean, they'd look like any one of us, and they act like any one of us. They're pretty good guys. And I got to say, Tom. Tom lives as a Nashville resident now. He lives down just south in a town called Franklin.
That's right.
Tom Peterson, yeah.
That's right.
And sooner or later, every musician lives in Nashville.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Well, that's the good thing about having this podcast here in Nashville is that you get to see people and talk to them about our show.
That's right.
And
talk about the past.
And then you can go to a show and you'll get a surprise guest because somebody lives here in town who's a buddy of somebody else on the show.
That's exactly right. You never know.
That's really neat to have that in this town. But also at the same time, it's hard to get a backstage pass if you know somebody because the music industry's here.
That's exactly
right.
Everybody
in the music industry takes all the backstage passes and the free tickets. And they'll always hear the old phrase of, hey, if you come see me in Louisville, I'll get you in.
That's exactly right. Go out of town, and we can get you any backstage pass you want.
Yeah, but
Nashville, but
anyway,
it's
still a good place to be.
It was great. I thought it was great, too, in seeing all of Rick's guitars still again. I mean, yeah. Every one of them, he probably had, what do you say, 20?
Yeah, he did one for every song, and
yep.
I know he didn't use them all, because
yep.
we were there by his case.
Oh, yeah, he just kept pulling them out one right after another. I mean, he never played the same guitar twice
nope.
on any song.
Nope.
I swear some he just tune up and put back away before he'd play them.
Yep.
But well, that's kind of his trademark, to just keep swapping out his guitar collection, so...
So tell me, let me ask you something. Somebody just asked us a question, like where we are. Come on over here. Can you come over here for a minute?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anybody with you?
We got a special guest already. When
that's
you
right.
Sit down.
What's your name, man?
I'm going to ask you a question.
We're gonna stay for a minute.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Tell me your name.
I see that. They're going to kick us out.
That's right. Brandon Thompson.
Brandon Thompson from UPS.
Yeah.
That's right. What can Brown do for you?
I love
that's
it.
Tom, that's Brian. I'm
hey, man. I like your last name there, man.
Hey, what's your name?
Michelle.
My wife, Michelle.
Thompson.
Oh, very good.
All right.
Everybody's named Thompson we run into lately.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a good name.
I just don't see
Harrisburg anywhere. Do you ever go to concerts? Very many concerts?
She loves them.
All right, who do you go see? Who do you like?
Go ahead and tell us.
Metallica is my favorite band.
There you go.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Floyd, Led Zeppelin.
Girl after my own heart.
Watch out now.
That's right.
Musically.
Calm down.
Musically.
All right.
Okay, all right. I want y'all two to do something since y'all are in a hurry. I want you to do something right quick. I want you to say.
Sing, I'm not doing it.
You're not going to sing?
No.
Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say. 1, 2, 3.
This is Brandon and Michelle Thompson from Nashville, Tennessee. You're listening to Concert Blast.
All right.
We're wasting our time.
They won't pay for ours.
They won't pay for ours.
So
cut that out there.
See, Tom didn't even touch this.
And as Brandon said, Brown will do it for you.
That's right.
All right, hey, man, sign thanks. On and listen to us.
All right,
mate, we'll that's all good. Right. That's pretty neat.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I
there's
like
always
that.
Somebody related to you walking in here, man.
Another Thompson.
Another
oh
cousin.
Before we get into our main topic tonight, I want to talk about what happened also last weekend, which was the Bonnaroo Festival. And the Bonnaroo Festival is actually pretty funny because you get people to drive in from all over the country.
All over.
And some other parts of the world.
And even if they fly in, they got to drive in because it's right between Nashville and Chattanooga.
Yeah, it's right. It's actually about 50 miles south of Nashville. And what's really neat about that is that it's a three-day festival. It was so funny. If you watch the news, did y'all see this on the news where they were busting everybody coming in?
No.
Policemen there were checking out cars for drugs and drug paraphernalia. And what they were doing, they were taking their cars, they were taking their money, and they were taking all their drugs. And
selling them.
No. They were... I saw this one guy on the news, and he said... Man, all I wanted to do this weekend was smoke some weed and drink some beer, and they took it from me.
Oh, man. My weekend's ruined.
This guy was from California. There's another guy that was...
How'd he find the place?
I have no idea.
Actually, it's a long way.
Man, well, Manchester is actually right there on the interstate. So.
Yeah, it is. 3,000 right off
trip.
The interstate.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you probably can't find it. The Bonnaroo Festival's... about twice as big as the town. You know?
Just remember, if you're coming to the Bonnaroo Festival, that town is really small, and they really like the income it comes in every year.
They love your revenue.
Yeah,
that's right.
The revenue is jail time, too. So
be careful what you bring.
And fines.
And fines. And
that's right.
Parking.
I mean, everything. They're gonna nail you. Don't come in here with a bunch of drugs because they're going to search your car. They randomly do searches. They had 75,000 this year, or 80,000 this year. Last year they had 90,000. One guy died this year. One guy died last year. And it's usually a drug overdose. The guy this year, I don't think he died from a drug overdose. I think it was something else.
Some medical condition.
Yeah.
But... I tell you.
But they randomly search every car.
Yes, they do. And randomly every car, yeah.
Sometimes they randomly search your trunk. Sometimes they randomly search your glove compartment.
And you.
And you.
And you. Woo-hoo.
That's
right. So some of the bands they had was Widespread Panic was there. The Black Crows, Dave Matthews, Jack Johnson, Allman Brothers Band, Government Mule. I mean, even Allison Krauss and Union Station. John Prime was there this time. And Bob Weir and Rat Dog, you know him from...
Grateful Dead.
Dead, yeah. There's many, many, many more. And it's a three-day festival, like I said. And they had like three or four stages and so forth. But let's before we get into our main topic too, after saying that, what I want to do is send out some apologies. The first apology goes out to Rod Stewart. On the first show, I said he was playing Dancing in the Night Away. Do you remember what the song really was? Twisting in the Night Away.
Twisting the Night Away.
Yeah, so Rod Stewart's people, please don't call me, but Rod, you can call me. We'll do an interview. And
you know, Rod's expecting, his girlfriend is expecting a baby, and yes. He's 60 years old, due in December.
Yeah.
How you like that one?
And he's not divorced yet. He's in the middle of getting a divorce, and they're engaged, supposed to have a wedding this fall.
Yeah, she's as old as 34, too. Man.
Yeah, timing's everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah, but then again, there's...
And he's way ahead of his time, sound like.
Another apology goes out to Michael Butler from the Rock and Roll Geek Show. And I said that he was the bass player of a band called American Heartbeat, when it's actually American Heartbreak. And my apologies to you.
You ought to be
shocked.
Remind us after the show.
That's kind of embarrassing when you say somebody's band and you hear it. Just think you're hearing your band, Tom, and you're saying, The Cream was playing.
Hello. Not The Cream, it's The Crowd. What are you talking about, man? Big difference.
But anyway, Michael Butler has a really good podcast called The Rock and Roll Geek Show. There's another podcast I heard this week that I started hearing a lot of. I mean, I started hearing the back shows because it was really good. I really enjoyed it. And that's Bitterman Circle, bittermancircle.com. And that's a guy that's one of the roadies for Weezer. And he does his podcasting from the stage while he's setting up sound checks, the other people in the band. I really enjoyed that. And if there's any more out there.
You mean he's not working when he's supposed to be working?
He's actually working, but he's got his mic on.
So he doesn't have to come to restaurants podcast,
yeah.
Huh?
And get fed.
He just walks around and talks to people backstage, and it's really neat.
That would be very cool.
What's really neat, though, is half the time they don't know that he's recording them. And that's pretty.
Uh-huh.
He talks to other roadies and people like that. And man, it was really good. I enjoyed it.
So there must be a lot of editing going on.
I'm sure there is.
Well, yeah. I don't think he edits that much.
Oh, okay. Good
anyway,
deal.
And he tells you if it's job safe or not. In other words, he'll say, we're at work and there is some language. So he warns you. And I appreciate him warning me because if you got your speakers on at work, you don't want to hear
that. Yeah, if you hear any bad language on this show, it's going to be the people next door. To us at the next table, say, shut up.
Like you said on the last show, you told me to shut up, and I told
him. I didn't say
you
it
were
out
16
loud.
And I was 15.
Oh,
shut up. It's a few years ago, right?
Yeah, but anyway, let's get started in our main topic tonight. And our main topic tonight will be what, Brian? This is his idea. I like this idea.
We were discussing some topic ideas, and we thought songs that people start off with. Bands swap it up, sometimes they stick with the same thing. All the time, so we just wanted to start this episode with what we call taking the stage.
There you go,
that's
taking
right.
The stage. Since it's your idea, Brian, we'll let you take the stage first.
This is, of course, guys, this is all based on our experience or my experience, and I have quite a few, and they're favorites of mine, but just to mention a few, and I'm just going to kind of reel them out here. Of course, there's Joan Jett, Bad Reputation. She's been doing it pretty much that way forever, as long as I can ever remember.
But you remember how she did it when we saw her, I think it was opening for Robert Plant. Remember, the people always have songs going on in the PA system before they come out. Well, they had Won't Get Fooled Again playing.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And then during the part where the drum break comes in, the lights went out, and the drummer took the stage, and he just... and it sounded awesome.
Carried right over.
And then the band came in.
Just ran right in there.
And they finished the song, and Joan Jett came out and says, "Meet the new boss. Same as the old boss."
What a good way to get things started, man.
Oh, wow. What a starter. And then they went in. Bad reputation.
Oh, man. You never hear bands just pick up on whatever was playing before they came on. Like that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I love that.
Now, this is going way back to the Bon Scott days of AC/DC. Long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. It's a slow build into the song, but it's great. Nothing against Brian Johnson, but I'm big on Bon Scott.
I agree.
Kiss, always a perpetual favorite with Detroit Rock City. Now they tend to use it as
an encore.
Yeah, or right before they go off the stage.
Or right before they go off. And here's one that everybody, the Stones, Honky Tonk Woman.
Yeah, we saw that in Memphis.
Oh, yeah. They I think they pretty much use the same thing now. I don't know.
No, we saw them. I saw them in Nashville, and they started off with Satisfaction.
Well, I'm satisfied with Honky Tonk Woman. So.
But what was neat about, we saw them in Memphis, and what's the first line of Honky Tonk Woman? I met a gypsy ballroom queen in Memphis.
That's
and you
perfect.
Couldn't hear the next line. It was in Memphis Stadium, 50,000 people.
Oh.
You couldn't hear the next line. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
Remember they're trying to get Mick Jagger on an elephant from the Memphis Zoo to ride up on the stage, and the elephant wouldn't go up or something, and he had to end up walking up there?
I'd hate to have been the guy behind the elephant. 50,000 people screaming, make an elephant nervous, not a good idea.
I don't think so either.
But what was neat in Nashville at Vanderbilt Stadium, and this was, I don't know, probably 7 years ago or so.
You can tell Mike's got money because Stones tickets are like $300 a piece.
Well, no, not then it was.
Back then.
It was $50.
Yeah.
$40 or $50. But they started off, and the lights went down in the stadium. It was pitch black. You couldn't see anything on the stage. But they had this big screen behind them that you could show different. And all of a sudden, they showed a picture of Keith Richards with these dark shades on, just standing there with a guitar in a guitar pose. All of a sudden, damn, 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 damn. Man, that place went bananas. I mean, wow.
That's cool.
Last time they were here, one of our favorite songs, Tom, when the tickets were $300, Brian, at the Gaylord Entertainment Center last year.
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago, whenever it was. It was
$303.
It was one of our songs that we recorded in our old band. You remember what the song?
Street Fighting Man.
Street Fighting Man. They started off with that.
That's right.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Very cool.
They're near and dear to our heart. Boom, 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 Queen, Aerosmith, and Nugent. Tie Your Mother Down, Mama Kin, and Just What the Doctor Ordered. So.
Wow.
So.
What I liked about Nugent playing Just What the Doctor Ordered. It was
recorded live in Nashville, Tennessee.
On
we
Double
were there.
Live Gonzo.
That's right.
Yeah, but that was.
And we were only four when we were there.
Yeah, right.
Listen to this. Here it comes. Here comes the Nuge.
Here he comes. Here comes the.
Remember, as soon as the lights went out, he slid across the stage, and I could never figure out where he came from. I kept looking on the side of the stages for him to see where he's hiding.
He was going crazy with that big old
I
tail.
I couldn't find him.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, there's a little Derek St. Holmes right there.
Oh, that's probably Ted yelling, yeah.
Ted was busy on the side stage.
Oh, yeah.
Now, at this part, he's probably on top of his drum riser.
Or if not on the speakers.
Yeah. Well, he started on the drum riser on this show. And then he jumps off right here. He's on the drum riser.
Yep.
And Derek is waiting for the spotlight to get back on him again.
Yeah. Over here, I'm singing.
Come on, Derek, man.
Right here. Here comes the flash pots.
Yeah, boy. Yep.
And, of course, you couldn't hear that, but that was our eyebrows getting burnt right off our face.
That's right. We didn't care.
That was a blast.
I can just remember like it was yesterday.
It's okay. I still got three on each side.
I just want to sing along, man.
Listen to that, man. Derek St. Holmes is an awesome singer.
Yes, he is. It's so crazy, baby.
Let's play that out. Yeah, boy,
oh,
that was
man,
good.
That brings back great memories.
Yeah, but I tell you what, though, you also mentioned Queen.
Oh.
And I remember seeing them in Louisville on the
sir.
Day of the Races tour.
That's right, and we know who opened up for them, too, don't we, man?
Another band with a great opening
Lizzy.
Sound.
Thin Lizzy, yes, sir.
They opened up with Jailbreak. So,
man, that's another great starting song.
It came out with... sirens going on, red lights flashing, smoke bombs, everything.
Then Queen has the whole stage full of smoke. And you hear, you see Brian May walking through the stage on the smoke, and he's doing this little number right here.
Yeah, boy.
And you're going, where's Freddie?
Come on, Freddie. Come on out here, baby. Yes. Roger hits him.
Of course, the lights are going down. The lights are going on the stage, are flashing on the stage. The smoke is filled just everywhere, like the dry ice machines.
It's a great buildup because it slowly picks up, slowly picks up.
Let's listen to this.
Freddie's thinking about coming out here slowly but surely.
He don't come out slowly ever.
And if that don't get you going, I don't know what will.
Right here, there, Freddie. Here we go.
Except better.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great guitar riff.
Man, what a way to start off a concert.
Get your big tails down. Get your heart in, baby. Yes, sir. Man, I love that. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, great minds think alike.
That's what they say.
Because, you know, obviously, there are some bands that didn't get as big, but everybody's heard of Sammy Hagar, but we loved him when he was with a band called Montrose.
That's right.
There was an excellent song they started out with. It was called Rock the Nation.
We're going to rock the what?
Nation.
Yeah.
N-A-T-I-O.
And he still does that solo, doesn't he? When he's solo.
Rarely.
But I've seen him do it a couple times.
He still does it.
Yeah.
But we go back to our kind of roots when we were younger. They call it Southern rock now. That's just rock and roll. They even call it country now. But you got Lynyrd Skynyrd and ZZ Top. You got Working for MCA and Thunderbird.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember Thunderbird.
But, hey, let's talk about Sammy for a minute.
Okay.
You were talking about Sammy. Well, we saw him, a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about taking the stage in style. I mean, that guy, remember he showed that video of his, career?
Yeah, that was
From Montrose.
Back. Yes.
And then it showed him going into the Red Rocker.
Yes.
You know, singing Red, Red. Yeah. Which, he didn't even do that song, did he? But then he started pushing his club. What's his club, Tom?
Cabo Wabo, wasn't it?
Thank you, Tom.
Wait a minute.
Well, you had your cousins here before.
Okay, you got one on me there.
Tom actually has been to that club. Tell us a little bit about it.
Tell you what, it's a pretty good sized club. I'd say it seats probably somewhere around 350, 400, and nice big stage. And it's just, you know, it's probably what the biggest, most exciting thing in Cabo Wabo. And I know Sammy plays there, I believe, two or three times a year. I mean,
he wasn't there the week you were there, though.
No, he was coming, actually, I think it was 2 weeks after we were there, and I'd love to see him. And tell you what, it's a good place to see a good show.
Did you see anybody there?
We saw just a local band. I mean, no big deal, but, I mean, again, it was...
Was it a cover band or the original music?
It was a little bit of both. But it's nice, man. I tell you, I know he's got a place somewhere in Cabo Wabo and this and that, so... Again, it's a good place to go see a good show with if you're ever going to be in Mexico.
What part of Mexico is that?
That's on the below the Baja California part going down there.
Oh, okay.
Cabo San Lucas.
Cabo San Lucas.
San Lucas.
That's correct.
Well, after he did that, you remember what was playing over this PA when they showed the video, and every time they showed him in different stages in his life, and then interview him too. Remember that? They was interviewing him.
Did it all, yep.
Yeah, and it was like probably a 10-minute, 15-minute video, which is really neat.
Mm-hmm.
And then got the crowd hyped up, and then the lights went down, and then Bob Dylan came on, the PA, singing it. Well, they stone you when they
I thought he said Bob Dylan was there. I said, man, what was the matter with me? I don't remember none of that. I said, all I can remember is the group of people he let stand on the side of the stage. And they actually were, on the stage with the band. But as a part of their own little crowd. It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was probably, my guess was the fan club in the bleachers. They had a bleacher section over to the side.
Yep.
And man.
On the stage.
It was probably the fan club.
On the stage. Yeah.
Yep.
Had to have been the fan club. Anyway, they did. Had Rainy Day, what's that song? Rainy Day Woman, number 12 and 35 by Bob Dylan playing. Which is when they stone you, and that was playing, and then that's when the people were taking stage, and that's when he went to that song. What?
Shaka Doobie.
It was a shock to see the special guest walk out on stage to play bass for him. Michael Anthony from Van Halen came out,
sure did,
and he did several songs for him with him, and of course they were all Van Halen songs, but. That was pretty neat. There
it was a shocker, wasn't it?
Yeah, how about that?
I said he did On Top of the World, he did Right Now, did Best of Both Worlds, Let's see. Why Can't This Be Love? You know, they did several of those with Michael Anthony. Then he came back on an encore and did another one, you know, so another one or two with him. That was pretty neat, too.
Yep.
But that was, I mean, he really knew how to start the show. That's why it was my whole key part.
He got you going.
I didn't care for all his language. Now, well, I'm not the kind of guy who likes language. That's why I don't really care for Nugent that much anymore. I don't care for Sammy Hagar. I mean, he was really...
You sure wouldn't like Motley Crue, would you, man?
No. Motley Crue, you don't even put him in my category. I mean, I don't think there's a need for it, number one. Number two, I think it ruins the content of the song. And to me, I don't think it's a use for it. What do y'all think? I know it didn't bother you, Tom.
Well, I shouldn't say it didn't bother me. I mean, I could live without it better than I can live with it. But the thing is, it gets the crowd rowdy and this and that, and the kids have a tendency to like it. But, you know, it's not something that you have to have, yeah. I don't think.
I can tell you I don't think it adds a thing to it. I think it takes away from a good show. So, you know, even when we were really getting rowdy, after a while it got old to us. So... But no, there's no need for it.
I remember the first time that I think I ever heard people use a language like that was Ted Nugent. And then Nugent and Aerosmith went on a tour and split the bill together. And after that tour, Aerosmith started using language.
Yeah.
Going, they've never done that before. What are they doing, you know?
Bad
like
Ted.
Every now and then you want to take your kids to something, you know?
Bad influence. Oh,
yeah,
no.
You can't. You got to check it out first. But anyway.
Yep.
Well, there's one song, and you guys help me with the title because I can't ever remember it. One of our favorite bands, Golden Earring. Hey,
oh yeah.
Hey, Netherlands. How you guys doing?
Mm-hmm.
Barry Hay, George Rhinus, and Cesar. there was a song, and y'all correct us if we're wrong, and I sure want the right title because I don't know it. But I'm thinking it was called Don't Stop the Show.
Yeah. It was like, come on, baby. Yeah. Don't stop the show. And we couldn't find that anywhere, could we?
We're still looking.
I don't say.
So if anybody knows what album that's on or anything.
You guys in the Netherlands, if this thing was just released in your country, please send us some.
Man, I love that song.
That's Brian at Concert Blast.
B-R-I.
With an
right.
I.
In.
With an I.
Brian at ConcertBlast.com. Send him an email of us.
Barry,
we would
George,
love to know.
Anybody. Come on. What do you guys help me out?
Yeah, because I thought that was one of the best songs.
Oh,
and
excellent.
We
excellent.
Saw him a couple times, and remember the second time we saw him, we said, I wonder if they're going to start off that same song again. I'd love to hear that song again.
And they did. They started off with the exact same song. And it was an excellent song. I thought it was on a new album back then. And I can't remember the name of the album. It was an excellent album, though, but it wasn't there. Moving on from the Netherlands, which I dearly love. I love you guys out there.
Amsterdam.
There's just a couple more. One is by Elton John. It's Elderberry Wine.
Elderberry Wine, one of my old favorite songs.
And I just love that song. It's not nothing hard-edged or anything, but it's just a great
groove,
a great intro song.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Especially when he says, it's been a year since I saw you, because that's what he used to come every year.
Yep.
And man, that just kind of fired you up right there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And my last one I'm going to leave you with, guys, is Foghat, Fool for the City.
Oh, yeah. That's remember the mirrored
wonderful.
Ball. Foghat always had the mirrored ball
sure
and
did.
British anthem,
uh-huh.
you know, and then all of a sudden they always
just
started
right
off with Fool for the City.
Yes.
Always. You can count on that. That's one thing you
yes,
can count
you
on.
And we miss
phenomenal.
You Lonesome Dave.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes,
what a
do.
Great singer.
Oh, he was.
And I had the privilege of meeting those guys. Which one of you guys went with me to see
I did.
Me?
I did.
Not me. Not me.
Yeah, so we'll get to a backstage story, a show. We'll do a show from backstage, and I'll bring that up.
Yeah. Tell them.
Later on.
Fun,
later, Brian.
Those are some of the nicest guys. And they came back to town, and I called them, and they were at a radio station, and I called them, and they all remembered me. And
that's cool.
I could go on about all that. Several people we met. And I took you to see Huey Lewis, though, didn't I?
Sure did. Sure did. MTSU.
And he's just another nice guy.
He was. Very nice. Yeah, it was cool.
But anyway, go ahead.
No, I'm just about done here, guys. Let me take a quick look. That was it for me, man.
Tom, you got anything right off the top?
Tell you what, man. Brian's covered the big ones. I'm not sure. I'm just thinking here, okay.
All right, how about this?
One, two,
I got you
two.
Both now. And Tom, you and I talked about this on the phone.
I know.
All right.
I know.
When we talk about one of our favorite shows, who is it? Alice Cooper.
Cooper, yes.
Yeah, but yes, what he started off with, he starts off with something different every time I've ever seen
it. I love it, too. I love it.
So you can't say which one, can you?
Yeah, I can.
Now the second one I can say is Billion Dollar Babies.
The first one, yeah. The first one, yeah. Tom. What?
Hello.
Billion Dollar Babies, baby.
Hello. Hello.
Hooray! Well, went up. Now, were you with me the first time we saw him? Were you with me?
Was that Christmas show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they beat up Santa Claus. It was in December of 73, I'm thinking.
And, of course, we thought that was hilarious.
So. Yeah. That was on the encore. But anyway.
That's better than hanging himself.
Remember when the lights went out, and they actually had a reserved seat for this show. We were in a mezzanine. They had a reserved seat for this show. And as soon as the lights went out, everybody rushed the stage. And security freaked out. And security thought everybody's going to stay in their seats.
What's wrong with these people, man?
This is Alice Cooper. And then all of a sudden there was a voice over the PA goes, Nashville, are you ready to rock? There, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as you get back to your seats, I'll start the show.
Yeah, 30 minutes later.
And it sounded like Alice Cooper himself talking. You know, and it could have been. I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe it was a security thing.
Yeah. And so they had to get everybody. I mean, you could see people running back to their seats because they wanted the show to start.
They were ready for
it. And that
was
really neat. And, of course, Brian, the first song was, boom, choo, choo, boom, choo, choo, burn
here. You lost that love in me.
That was it. That was it.
Could you believe that?
Of course, it was what? Hello!
Hooray! Hooray! Let the show begin. I've been ready.
Yeah, ooh, that's it.
God, I'm glad this is a podcast.
<That's all right.
laughs> Oh, yeah, but that Alice has always been a fun guy to see.
Not just fun. I mean, he really puts the theatrics out there. I mean, you name it. It's something going on with this and that. And
but the next time we saw him, Tom, you said that was your favorite
intro.
That
was my favorite, man. Welcome to my nightmare, man. That, I tell you, that was one of the top-notch shows out there. But that's a show that you just sit back and you're just in awe because you don't know what's going to happen next. I mean, literally, you are entertained not so much for the music, but what's Alice going to do next? I mean, he had always had his performers out there dancing around, right. But you had this monster, that monster. I mean, it was theatrical. It really was.
There were several theatrics through that album. Now, I saw the Welcome to My Nightmare live on DVD, and then there's on, you know, how you got different versions of the director's cut and all that stuff. Well, Alice Cooper narrates the show.
Oh, that's
on
cool.
On this one cut. And I suggest anybody who's the Alice Cooper fan to get that because he talks about every song. And of course, that was his drinking days. And he says, I don't remember some of this, but this is cool. I ought to do this again.
Yeah, I bet.
And what he talked about was, you know, one of my favorite things to watch him do is the Steven song. Steven, come home.
Where are you, Steven? Yeah.
Is that my mama calling? Yeah,
really,
I love that.
Yeah.
Of course, one of my favorite songs, Escape, came off that album, didn't it?
Cold Ethel
did.
Only Women Bleed.
Absolutely.
I mean, there was a lot of hits, a lot of great songs.
I wasn't much into the ballad thing, but
he beat up during Only Women Bleed.
So justice was served.
Was served. Cold Ethel came out after him. And
Cold Ethel was so cold, too.
Oh, the next time we saw him, Greatest Hits Tour.
Yep.
You remember? The big screen comes down. Big old television show, the stage, and the guy is sweeping.
Yep.
He's sweeping, and he sits there, and he turns on the television. He's like a janitor, and he's scratching his back.
Then the beginning of the show starts on the background.
And it says, The Alice Cooper Show.
Yes.
And he's changing his channels, and he gets the Alice Cooper Show.
Man,
is that where he jumped through the screen?
Yes.
Oh, that was cool.
And he shows him running.
Totally forgot about it.
Running out of a graveyard, if I remember right.
Is that on DVD?
I don't know if it is. I'd like to
get
it.
I'd love to see that.
And he's running, and he runs right on the stage through the screen, right on the stage.
Yep.
It's like,
that was
good
phenomenal.
Grief.
I tell you.
Can't
great entertainer.
I totally forgot about that.
How about that? It happens when you get old.
One of my favorite acts to see, as I talked about on Fun Shows, was the Ramones. And anytime you saw the Ramones, like we saw them at the Exit Inn twice.
Yes, we did.
What was neat about seeing them come through is at the Exit Inn, the old Exit Inn, not the way it's set up now, but the old way is from the dressing room, you had to walk through the crowd to get to the stage. And that's very neat because you could see, you know, you pat them on the back
that's
as
right.
they go through.
Hey, how you doing, Joey? Yeah.
And Johnny gave me a guitar pick on the way out, yeah. you know, and that was pretty neat.
Yeah, tell them what happened to your head, man. Somebody threw something at you there, man, didn't they?
Yeah, well, during the encore, people get kind of crazy. Yes, back in those days,
crazy.
It was the punk days.
It was punk.
Yeah, and they were actually had two albums out, maybe. You remember,
Brian? I think they had at least two.
It was only two.
Two albums out. Yeah. And that was
you remember...
Slam Dancing was in, brother.
Warren was there the first time we went.
Yes. Warner Hodges, yeah.
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 And, we had a lot of fun. There was an ashtray. I remember an ashtray. I picked it up off the floor.
Yeah, somebody threw it at me and hit me in the head.
Yeah, you put a big crack in it because I hit myself over the head with it and broke my cap.
Yeah.
Either that or you just didn't get hit right.
Oh, man, that was a good time.
And I remember you got hit and we laughed.
I was like, my head was spinning. I was like, oh, wow. I said, in a dream.
Yeah.
You said, you're not bleeding, we're not leaving.
So, yeah, that's right. I was fine. I recouped when they came back through for their encore, you know, and when Tom and I saw them at Center Stage several years later, they came out there and they did that, you know, like we talked about in our prior shows, how they did that theme from one of the movies of Clint Eastwood's is,
That's right.
They had a lot of albums out by then.
Yeah.
And so they had a lot of material to choose from. And it was, of course, they came out there, Lobotomy! Lobotomy!
Well, the one thing I liked about them, you never knew what they were going to start off with, except it all started out, 1, 2, 3, 4.
After each song, you know what the next words are going
to
be.
And it took you a while to figure out what song it was they were playing.
It sounded so much alike.
And all of a sudden, after you got about past the
first verse,
you go, oh, yeah.
I got it now.
Well, you could actually play the same song every time the same way and just put different lyrics to it, so then you got the Ramones.
There you go.
And, Brian, you talked about these bands also in the prior shows, which was Boston Rock and Roll Band. I mean, that's a great starter. Rock and Roll Band, everybody's crazy.
Excellent.
You also talked about Foreigner having Long, Long Way From Home. They always started off with that, and That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Springsteen, he always started off with Badlands at the beginning days. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. I like Badlands. But then he switched to different stuff like Born in the USA. And, you know, when Springsteen used to play and open with Badlands. I remember the first time.
Yeah, we were there. Second row. And there was maybe what?
No, it was actually first row.
Was it first row? Okay.
First row, because the stage came out. The lowest level of the stage was only about 3 feet tall.
That's true.
And when they came out, the big man, Clarence, was right in front of us.
He was right in front
of us. There was something missing.
The crowd.
Well, no, it was me.
Oh. And you were missing, too. That's right. You didn't think he was going to be no big deal.
I just didn't think Springsteen was that good.
But they...
He put on a show like it was sold out, even though it was probably, 7,000? Maybe.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. Yeah.
And then next time they came, we barely got in the hall. We were in the balcony, like third from the top row. And we were saying, you know, I remember when we were right down
there. We patted him on the back.
And you sold your ticket.
Yeah. I remember we went to the Rivers Tour to that show, and I was trying to buy someone's ticket stub for $50 to get down on the floor.
Yeah.
I wanted to get on the floor that bad down by the stage. I used to think, and I still think, if you can't get close, that's no use me going. I want to see their facial expressions, man.
Right, it's not the same.
But I'll tell you what, another fun show that we saw that Tom didn't get to go to, which was Aerosmith's first time in Nashville, when they had that black curtain down, and you know how the lights went out, and they had that Boris Karloff theme. And then the curtain slowly rises, and you could see Steven Tyler running in a big circle. You remember that, Brian?
Oh, yeah. And the reason we know that, because 2 months before, I think, we had seen him down in Atlanta, and we were behind the stage.
Yeah.
So we could actually see him running around in circles, warming himself up before the show started.
Yeah.
So
a mile before he started.
Yeah. You could see him running around in a circle, getting himself stretched out and warmed up. We knew that. We knew who it was right away. So that's the great thing about that.
And, of course, what was the song?
It was Mama Ken.
Ooh.
That's right.
Ooh.
That was a great show.
Oh, yeah.
Because they did a lot of stuff on the first album, even though it was the Rocks Tour.
But,
I really enjoyed that.
Which was about their fourth album, I believe.
Yep. Well, I guess we're about out of time for today, guys. What do you think?
That probably sounds about right, man.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, here's what I want everybody to
go
do.
Go away.
They're out there. I want everybody to send us an email. I want to test our email abilities for the web provider that we have. I want everybody that's listening to this to send us an email and just tell us something. Hello, we like your show. Or look at our website
and see
some of the topics. If you know, if you have your own story, we want to read about it.
We'd love to know about it.
Like I'm about to do now. There was this one guy who sent me an email, and they found out that we're going to do. They found that we were going to do openings, and so he said, "I want to share a Paul McCartney concert intro that happened on their last tour, not the Driving Range tour." He says it was the usual pre-concert stuff going on with all the house lights up. People are walking around getting their souvenirs, so on, forth, so on, finding their seats. He says, and all of a sudden the music changed. And he says, I can't remember what kind of music they were playing. He says, but it was just different. He says, and the lights dimmed just a little bit. He says, not all the way off. He says, you could see people from the arena walking around in very strange outfits. And he says, it was like you were at a Boy George concert or a Village People concert. He said it was
kind of strange.
It was really different dress. And he says, and that's not like a Paul McCartney.
You said
show.
Dress and Boy George.
Yeah,
right.
And he said many of them were dressed in like the Middle Ages and looked like circus performers. And they weren't talking. He said they were walking just like they were zombies or something all over the arena. He said and they made their way. They walked all the way down to the stage. And got up on the stage, and what they were really doing goofy things on stage. He says, but it got everybody's attention. He said, some were walking, some were dancing, some were like they were just lifting weights over their head, imaginary. He said, it was just really strange. He says, and get this, he said, it never had any connection to do with the concert either. Nothing was even said about them. It was almost like you had expected to see them back in the days of Sgt. Pepper's, motivated by an LSD trip.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
He says they were there for about a minute, and then they walked off. And as they walked off the stage, there was this strange pause. And then people were just probably thinking, what in the world was that about?
Going on, really?
He says, then the lights went completely out. Of course, everybody screams. Then it was pitch black. The screen, there was a big screen there, a big white screen, and it lit up. A silhouette shape of Paul's famous bass guitar. You know? Mm. He says, and the guitar was diagonally across the screen. The crowd went crazy, and it was almost deafening. And he says, then you see this silhouette figure walk up behind the screen carrying the same bass. And he says, he held up the guitar in his left hand and raised his fist with his right hand and strapped it on. Bam! It went right into... You say yes,
oh.
I say no, you say stop, and I say go. Anyway, and he said what was really neat about that later on, he said they did during Can't Buy Me Love, they did that, and on the screens, they showed old Beatles footage as they first arrived in the United States.
Oh, that'd be very cool.
And he's coming back around, but he's another one that charges $200 or more.
If That's right. He's not coming to Nashville, I already checked.
Of course not.
Yeah, except Miami, Atlanta, Tampa, and Atlanta.
Atlanta.
But, Paul, you're here this, and when you hear this, invite us three guys down there to your Atlanta show. We'll talk backstage a little bit.
That's right.
Have a little fun.
Hey, we'll even interview you, man, okay?
We'll even let you even
say a few words on our show. That's right.
Let you listen to this like we're gonna let him.
You can give us one of those
if we have the time, you know.
You can get us one of those executive sponsorships.
There you go.
And then you can adopt us.
That's right. We promise to be good.
Well, that's all the time we're gonna take today, but we thank you and we'll see you again next week. Keep sending us your emails. We love these emails, by the way. Keep them coming. Keep being subscribed to us to our podcast, and thank you for signing on all over the United States. We're seeing all kinds of cities: Houston, Texas, Philadelphia, New Jersey,
all over the world.
Cities all over California,
Gallatin, Tennessee.
Oh, even in Gallatin, Tennessee. The Netherlands is still number one country outside the United States. Thank you, Netherlands.
Yeah, Germany's not too bad either.
Yeah, Germany, Australia. That's another good one.
There you go.
Poland's kicking in now, and Mexico. Poland's kicking
in.
Wow. So
keep it coming.
Keep them on coming, and spread the word. And hope we'll see you all again next time. for another Concert Blast. This is Mike saying goodbye.
This is Tom saying goodbye.
And Brian, too.
And see you later.
See
bye.
Ya. God bless you.